Welcome to Super Garbage Day, a retro video game review show where my co-host and I randomly select a game, usually obscure, with 20 years or older. Wow. This intro is awful.
Got to show ID to be on this show.
I don't know what I'm doing with this Texas accent. 20 years or older that neither of us have played, with hopes to find the treasures in the trash. I am your host, B. Ross, the science boss. And to my right is...
Mr. Miller. The cowboy killer.
Oh man, we're on it today, except for my crappy intro. We have a Patreon. You can go check us out at patreon.com/supergarbageday, or just look in the show notes. That's the easiest way to find the link. $2 gets you bonus episodes, access to them, and $5 allows you to put a game in a separate Patreon pool that we draw from usually once a month, but coming up in February, which is going to start this week, every week we're drawing from it just to show it's our Patreon appreciation month.
Patreon palooza.
Yes, I originally wanted to call it the Patreon, what is it, the appreciation orgy or something.
that's an extra ticket price.
Appreciation orgy. That's it's just patting each other on the back.
You just
legs, arms, and patting. Every week on Wednesday, roughly around 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, you can catch me and hopefully at some point, Mr. Miller, if you're free.
You'll be lucky.
Yeah. Very busy man. Twitch.tv/supergarbageday, where the first impressions of the game that was chosen that week will be played. Or otherwise, go to the YouTube channel under the same name. And I upload them there, and I think I just uploaded this episodes on there, like the entirety of, like, I think it's like a 2 hour, just pretty much a let's play at that point. Let's play with, like, you know, strong language.
Profuse violence.
Yes. Also, if you're from Instagram, welcome. I know we've still been getting a lot of follows every day, so that's awesome. Welcome. And I always want to state now that our artwork is done by my friend Royce of Bonuelos. You can find him in the show notes if you want some cool artwork done. All right, that's out of the way.
Before you ask the question, I have a confession to make.
Okay, what's the confession?
So last episode, I said I had put about 20 hours into Outcast.
Oh, yeah, last episode.
Yeah, I checked my time played on Steam.
Yeah.
It's 5 hours.
5 hours.
So just take that into consideration. I'm sorry for lying to you, but it felt like 20. Mm-hmm. That's just to reiterate how that game goes.
You look Kyle.
Ulukai,
no more.
No more.
You the Kyle.
I am the Kyle now.
You're definitely the Kyle now.
But yeah, it felt like 20 hours.
That's what it was.
So
it's like DMV time. Is what I call it.
Sucked into a vortex.
Slows down.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like being in the DMV without your smartphone, and the line's huge.
You can only read application forms so many times. Yeah. Or go through and find out how many laws you're actually breaking when you're reading the driver's manual.
You just bring your tube of toothpaste from your bathroom because you forget your phone and you're.
But yeah, so I am sorry.
Wow.
For deceiving you.
Okay. Well, we've lost all of our listeners now. So,
yep. Just killed the show right
Wonderful.
There.
Wonderful. This is absolutely a super garbage day now. Well, it's good to know that I played more than you and got nowhere near as far. But so on Outcast. All right, now it's time for the retro question of the week.
Okay. Retro question?
No.
Not today.
Let me redo that. It's a little racist. Now it's time for it is now.
Now that you said it.
I didn't mean it. It was totally messed up my.
Now it has to stay in.
Oh, the retro question of the week. This comes from Ken Shiro, and Ken Shiro's question is, what is your favorite homebrew / ROM hack? I'm assuming you've played any homebrews or ROM hacks.
I'm trying to think if I have. I don't. That's not really a realm that I delve into. That's more your
Yeah, I collect
forte,
them.
Yeah.
At least I can answer it. I have a few. Actually, Ken Shiro sent me one. Oh, yeah. Actually, sent me a couple. While
oh,
back.
No, I remember you showed me that red cartridge. No, that's no, the, it was, that's something different.
The God of War on NES. So it was like, he sent me that like years ago from when he was listening to the first show I did.
That sounds dope.
It's cool. It's a total reskin to Castlevania, but it's God of War.
It's all Kratos themed.
Yeah.
That's cool.
And the levels have been changed. Like, it's a completely new game. It's super jank, but it's cool as hell. That isn't my favorite one, though. My favorite one is Battle Kid, for sure.
Okay.
Battle Kid, completely built from the ground up, new NES game that was made in 2010 by one guy named Sivak.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pretty much a love story for NES hard games. So it's like a combination of like Mega Man meets Ghosts and Goblins meets a little bit of Battletoads meets like it takes heavy. I don't know if you've ever heard of a game called I Want to Be the Guy, but it was like notoriously really ridiculously hard PC game that was free.
Mm.
It pays a lot of tribute to that as well. And that game changed me as far as the retro platformer I am now. I feel like platforming games are easier now because of Battle Kid, because it tests you. It's the,
okay.
it's the Rangers, the it's the Navy SEAL boot camp of retro games.
Okay.
I do own, one and two, both physical copies complete. Sivak no longer makes games. He moved away out of the country. And since that happened, and he says he's never selling anymore, they went from the original $35 I paid for them to now anywhere from $100 to $150 each.
Oh, wow.
So it's one of those. Yeah.
I do have an answer now. I was just thinking about it, and it's a game we played.
Oh.
Or at least we talked about. It's
Iron and Blood?
No. It's... AM2R, which is another Metroid 2 remake.
Oh.
And it is a re-textured, reskinned, almost completely like redone version of Super Metroid.
Okay, that's cool.
Where the controls are just tighter. It's easier to pull off like the super jumps and stuff like that.
As opposed to its Game Boy original.
Yeah, and it's got a completely heavy metal soundtrack. So
nice.
that makes it also worth playing.
And Naked Samus, right?
And Naked Samus.
Yeah.
But no, it's I just was thinking, I was like, yep, that's a good one, but it's only available for the PC.
Oh.
So it's a
Well, a lot of these like homebrews and ROM hacks are actually just ROMs, but sometimes they'll sell a physical copy, and that's the little collection I have.
Yeah.
I've got quite a bit. I have a Metroid game that was built also from the ground up called Metroid Rogue.
Okay.
Yeah, and you don't even have the suit in it.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
So you're just running around. Are you in the Zero suit, or are you
in
fucking
no suit
bikini the entire
time?
No,
you're in like a space suit, kind of like tight fitting. But I have that too. I've never even played it.
Hmm.
But it also smells like spray paint. I don't know why that card. I leave that one in its little protective case. I ordered
what color
special
is it?
It's sparkly blue.
Oh, so yeah, they definitely rattle canned it then.
Yeah, they spray painted it.
Yeah.
All right. This week's game is Ghosts and Goblins on the NES. Ghost and Goblins, known as Makamura, Demon World Village in Japanese.
I do too.
I don't know. They're both good titles.
Yeah.
Is a platform video game developed by Capcom and released for arcades in 1985. It is the first game in the Ghost and Goblins franchise and has since been ported to thousands of things. It was a major commercial success across arcades and home systems. It was among the top 10 highest grossing arcade games of 1986 in Japan and in the US. It was the year's sixth best computer game in the UK, and the NES version sold over 1.6 million cartridges worldwide. It initially received generally positive reviews from critics, but is often cited as one of the most difficult games of all time. And retrospectively, it has been considered one of the greatest video games of all time. Fun fact as well, Ghosts and Goblins was released September 4th, 1985, the same week as Super Mario Brothers was released on the arcades.
Oof. That's a.
But Mario was released on the 13th, so this game predates the original Super Mario Brothers. So the not the
the arcade cabinet, the one where
the actual platformer, like the Mario.
Oh, okay, not the one.
Not with Mario Bros, with, but Super Mario Brothers.
Where the, you know, they come out of the pipes. And
yeah, not that one.
Okay.
Yeah. So this game is the first real platformer, I think. I mean, not technically, but
it's got some platforming elements.
I mean, I wouldn't think that it predated Mario. That's crazy.
I wouldn't either. I would have thought Mario would have come out of the pipes first. Look what I did there.
Woo. Yeah. So, well, we know which one ended up being more famous, but what if it would have?
I wonder why.
What if it would have been this game? This Arthur movie coming out?
There would be a lot more children with bags under their eyes. That's for damn sure.
Arthur, is he, is the character, oh, by the way, the character's name is Arthur, you play as in Ghosts and Goblins. I forget, it escapes me. Is he in Smash?
I don't think he is.
I feel like I remember that, but it might just be another one of those memories.
But I haven't seen the current roster. He wasn't when I was in, but like, now the roster's got like 60 goddamn characters.
You know what? This is a very easy Google search. Yeah. So let me just look real quick. Arthur in Smash. Oh, this is going to be.
I do believe he's in Marvel versus Capcom.
What? Oh, he is, but it's weird.
Yeah. Let me see.
Because it's a Mii sword fighter costume. So it's a Mii in his costume. Why not just make it Arthur?
That's so lame.
Come on.
That's a cop out.
I hate that. On March 4th, 2021. Come on, HAL
Laboratories. I'm coming for you now.
That is bullcrap. How dare you?
How dare you? Shame! Where's the bell? Get the bell out!
Where's our bellboy? Bellboy, fetch the bell.
Bing! Shame!
Yeah, that's weird. That's so silly. Yeah, it's a DLC fighter, but it's a Nintendo Mii version of him.
Wait, so you have to pay for him?
Yes.
Do you have to pay for this janky Mii character that you could just make?
That ain't cool.
No. So what you're buying is armor for a Mii.
Yeah. And then fighting with it. I don't want to fight as a Mii.
No. I want to fight as Arthur.
I want to fight as Arthur.
I also want to get hit and become naked and then just come home then. Stand there with my knife.
You do that every Saturday. Not new.
I gotta change the password to my security cameras.
I've got a collection of your mugshots, man. They're getting progressively worse.
Me with a bottle of rum and a knife.
A knife. All right, let's get to first impressions. So when I first started playing this game, I played it before. Part
of same.
My childhood was playing this game. Of course, I never made it past the second level as a child. This is just one of those games where I didn't have the patience, even though I literally had nothing else to do.
I don't think I ever made it past the first level, honestly.
I know I got to this. I know I got to the second level as a kid because I have a weird traumatic memory of those guys at the big men that.
Oh, yeah.
That
just, chasing you through the halls. Yeah,
and just drop balls on you. Yeah, that's. But about the game, I know. terrible joke.
The big man chasing me through the walls.
Dropping balls on me. Oh, it's a terrible joke. Okay. We're just getting more and more racy as we every episode.
They want that good umami flavor, man.
we're gonna be communicating through cuss words. So firing it up. You can watch the first impression videos on YouTube. So you can check them out there. I got my butt kicked by the game, obviously. Matter of fact, it was so funny that I made a montage video of me dying.
Getting brutalized?
Yeah, getting brutalized. And every cuss word known to man. And that video was fun to make. I need to do more of those. Maybe not that. Maybe not me just screaming the F word 1,000 times. But I had fun making that. And, you know, that was my... the graphics, I just remember it all came rushing back. The music, the graphics, the everything about it. Such an arcade game. It really is such an arcade game, right? And it's a good port from what I think I have played the arcade game.
I've never seen a cabinet. I would like to find one in the wild.
Yeah. Portland not only had they have a barcade there called Ground Control.
I love that place.
They not only had that Ghosts and Goblins arcade, but they had the Splatterhouse arcade.
Huh.
And it was crazy. The control deck was fleshy and spongy, and like the joystick was a gross, like bloody eyeball.
Interesting.
It was cool as hell. I didn't even know that existed. I'm not sure if it was custom or not, but it was way, that was a Splatterhouse
one. It's funny because I know the place you're talking about. I love going there, and I was there recently, but it's usually, I only pop in just before a show because it's right there next to the Roseland.
Yep, that's why I would go there too.
And so I'm not there to play games. I'm usually there to...
Yeah, you're like, I ain't here to play games.
I'm here to slam a drink because I'm not going
to
pay... I'm
here to drink.
I'm not going to pay venue prices.
Oh, God, no. Imagine how bad it is now. But that place, one more fact about that place, terrible design layout for a place with that many pinballs upstairs. Cause I was like, man,
it's completely different now.
Is it? I was thinking like, that must be such a pain to rotate these games with this staircase.
It's completely different now.
I bet they get sick of that. Hauling pinballs up spiral staircases. That's me exaggerating, but yeah. So first impressions, game's hard, game's gothic. The storyline I assume is you're Conor McGregor getting it on in a graveyard. The devil comes and snatches your lady and you throw on your armor and you get to it.
Yeah.
You said, you literally say, not today, Satan.
That's yeah.
Yes.
100%.
That's
and then
it's historically accurate.
Out of the weeds, zombies come, those zombies that weren't there before.
No.
Or you were just like, hold on, let me get a smooch. Kill a zombie.
No, I think what was happening was they were like, it was awkward. They were just on the ground. They're like, oh man, I don't want to see his balls. Like, let's just eat them when they're done. So that's, I think, what happened. How many balls references have I made so far?
Two. Like we need a ball counter.
Okay. I'm going to get add a sound effect for every time.
Bing.
It's just going to be me going balls.
Balls.
That'll be the sound effect. Your first impressions. Go ahead.
Very similar. It was one of those games that I picked up as a young lad and immediately it was just like, no, this isn't for me because I didn't have the fortitude to bash my head against the wall. Also not owning an NES. I would rather play something I enjoyed anytime that I got the chance. So, you know, like going over to a friend's house or something, they're like, hey, you should try Ghosts and Goblins. I'd be like, yep, that's dumb. Let's play Mario or something.
Double Dragon.
Yeah. So coming back to it, it's a solid game. It holds up. It's the graphics are decent. The sprites are fun. I'm not crazy about immediately. I muted it because I'm not crazy about the sound.
Oh, the tinny, like
it hurts me. Yeah.
That's not even the music. That's just trying to make the sound effects.
But no, it hits a registry that I don't enjoy.
Yeah.
So, you know, throw on something else and it's fine.
Throw some Yanni.
But it some Enya.
Throw on some.
Can say when you throw stuff, kill the demons, then you die.
Pure moods. Order now.
But it's hard.
It is hard. I don't think it's the hardest NES game I've played, but it's definitely in top five.
It's got some moments where
that'd be a good bonus episode.
The top.
Like, I'll just do top five because I don't think I've there's a couple, I think, in that list that I haven't played.
It's got some things that I just don't have the patience for.
So it's almost like the opposite of last week's game for me, where I'm just like, oh, I just don't have the patience for all this lore. Like, I want to shoot things and not dodgeball gun things. But so I feel you on that. It's also one of those games that you have to push yourself pretty aggressively to continue to play, and sometimes it's got to be out of pure hatred. It's really, really pulls it out of you.
Yeah.
So, well, actually, let's talk about gameplay.
Okay.
We need like a sound thing.
One of those little sound boards.
Sound boxes.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Ooga.
Balls.
Ball, 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 balls.
You just have one that's a button you hit and then somebody comes out and rings a bell.
So just, could we just pay your son one no. day?
He's got to learn. He's got to earn his worth. So the gameplay is pretty much, you know, this is an older platformer, 2D, jumping, shooting. You start off with a handful of lives. There's six stages. And every end of every stage has a boss, technically. Yeah, you have four weapons to choose from.
Let's see. Lance, dagger, axe,
torch. Oh, shield.
Yeah, so five.
And then they all do different things. I think everybody can agree that the torch is the worst. It's the slowest. It's got a weird arc.
It also has an interesting burn mechanic where all weapons can only have two sprites on the screen at a time.
But that one.
And that one, if it's burning, counts as a sprite. So you only have one left. And if you throw both of them and they're burning,
yeah,
then you're just.
You're a duck.
You're effed. Yeah.
Well, the burn mechanic does kind of. It did. I realized later on, because when I played my second day of playing it, I got stuck with that torch thinking, oh, I'm just going to get another weapon down the road. Did not ever get another weapon. So I kind of realized that it wasn't that bad. Maybe that's just me forcing myself to play practically the entire game with that stupid torch. But
it's not optimal. It's not. None of the weapons are bad. No. So to say, they're not the dagger.
Yeah, the dagger's the way to go. Dagger all day. Super fast, super effective.
Mm-hmm.
You can just rapid fire it. Other than that, the lance. I don't care for the axe. And the shield is just, the shield's cool because it blocks projectiles, but it doesn't have a very.
The axe is only really good against the dragon.
Well, also the axe is cool because it goes through enemies.
Yeah.
So you can hit a handful of enemies at the same time with it.
It's very, it's very Castlevania in that respect.
Every boss is immune to one of those weapons, which is also frustrating to figure out. But because the unicorn, as they call him in the first level, who's the big buff biker looking unicorn. Right. Yeah. He cannot be hurt by the shield.
Really?
Yeah.
But how would that ever come up?
Oh, it comes up.
Oh, I guess in the like the it comes later,
up on the boss it, rush in on the, later, on the later fifth stages, level. Yeah. But yeah, the dagger is the way to go. I think you can kill everything with the dagger.
Except
for the final boss.
Yeah.
Yeah, which the shield does a good job at. I also figured out.
That's the only weapon you can kill the final boss with.
Yeah, technically. Or it doesn't pull the rug out from under you. But I also realized quickly that you can, if you can spam enemies that spawn in one region, like for instance, the flying hot dogs, as I call them.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Every fourth one will spawn
a pot
on its head, and it could have a new weapon in it and the weapon cycle. So you have to get one. You can't just let it sit there and not get it and hope for it. Like another weapon's not coming. So
you just got to pick them and go,
which I thought was cool. Unlimited continues, so the two-player mode is stupid because just hand it back and forth.
I die here.
Unless
you're
going for different scores, I get that. But even then, you can do that with just one. It was unnecessary two-player mode.
That's one of the things I will have to say. This is there's a lot of greed traps in this game.
Yeah,
where it's just if you're going for high score, there's a lot of pickups that are either cursed or. Generally, if you go that way, you're just gonna die.
There's ones that will reduce because there's a clock.
Mm-hmm.
So this is one of those games during that era where everything was still kind of arcadey, before we got to the ditch the clock and ditch the whole factor of a million points you're trying to get kind of thing. Because they realized quickly that people have this at home, they don't give a crap. Mm-hmm. They're not walking around with it.
Yeah, you're not posting a scoreboard at your home bar. Although if you did have that, that would be kind of dope.
That would be cool. And they probably did do that. But then again, back then, adults weren't into Nintendo like
that's true.
Adults are now. The arcade part of it. So I get why the timer's there. But also, the game's already ruthless. Then you put a timer, and not only do they add a timer that kills you if it runs out, but then you have random drops that will reduce your time a whole minute.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, wow. And those can happen at any time. So no pun intended.
Specifically, I'm just flashbacks to the second level.
Yeah.
There's that one where you're just like, oh yeah, this will give me more time. And you grab it. Now you're already time crunched.
Oh yeah.
It's after the apartment complex with all the big dudes.
Right.
and you finally make it through that.
It is a kind of an apartment complex, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you make it through that, and there's that, you think it's your saving grace because you're looking at like a minute 18. You don't know how much longer this level is.
Right.
And you grab it, and it's just like, now you have 18 seconds.
Yes. Left to, to beat two unicorns.
Yeah.
At the end of the level. The game is constantly, pulling the rug out from under you. Mm-hmm. But once you figure all of its tricks out, then you're like, then you just pretty much are speedrunning at that point. I do think that the game is fair, but very hard.
Except for the red Aramers.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was like what I was playing it on, if there was some sort of frame rate issue or something, but every strategy that I could figure out would work once, but then wouldn't work again.
Weird.
And so like I could never get a rhythm down on them.
It was roguelike almost.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. It was like their AI constantly changed. And
so, I doubt that was, maybe you had some weird like patched version of the game.
I think I had some stuttering, like some frame loss and stuff. That's too, because
the way to play this game is the original cartridge. Yeah. As I discovered, I did way better when I actually broke out the original NES and the cartridge. And it's not a game to play on an emulator.
I might need to try it like that, because I do think there's some frame loss or something where it feels unfair.
You have a CRT?
I don't.
Okay. Well, you're dead to me.
Yes, because those are readily available these days.
I got like four.
Yeah, but you dig them out of the trash.
I do not dig the TVs out of the trash. I find them at Goodwills. Not anymore, because I guess the cat's out of the bag and everybody's buying them up, and now they're super expensive. Gosh, I don't get it. It's always stuff that I'm like, hey, I figured something. I cheat code in life. Like, I'll buy $20 CRTs at work, TVs. Some of them have like built-in VCR players.
Oh, I remember those.
And I have one upstairs, a beautiful one that's has a built-in DVD player. Now I'm not selling them, though. I was reselling them. And people were just buying them for like three times the amount I paid. But then again, I cleaned them, you know, and I made them look good.
Make them nice.
Yeah, I tested them. I'd play movies on them and stuff. Let them have a free movie. But now, nope, not anymore. Last I checked, that same Magnavox one I have upstairs, they were selling, I bought for literally $20 a year ago. I saw the same exact model at a thrift store, and it was going for $75. I'm like,
Jesus.
Like, did I cause this?
Yeah, probably.
Was I?
You made the bubble.
So the moral of the story here, listeners, is that if you see CRTs out in the wild and they look cheap, just buy them, man.
Especially if you got old game systems.
Oh, yeah. It's a way to go. I know. It's the whole thing with people with like vinyl and music and all that. But honestly, it's all about like the games were built for those TVs. So something like this game in Battletoads is a prime example of how milliseconds and delay can actually completely change your gaming experience.
Input delay is a real thing in these kind of games.
Yeah.
And also just visually, they weren't designed for these high definition at pixel perfect screens. They relied on that fuzziness. That's why like you remember these old retro games looking way better than they do, especially like if you do like I'm going to use the Diablo 2 remaster as an example. They have an option where you can toggle between the remaster and the original.
Interesting.
And the original looks like absolute trash. And that is not how most people remember the game.
Right.
But then you got to remember you were playing this on an old CRT computer monitor, and they use the blending of pixels and that fuzziness there. And
scan lines.
To
crisp it. Yeah.
To render things.
Yes.
And now when every single pixel is perfectly rendered on your 4K monitor, it's going to look janky.
It kind of makes my eyes feel weird. Like I've tried playing, you know, games on big HD screens, and I do not prefer it, because like I said, you need a little bit of that fuzz to go down, because if you're going to be playing it for hours staring at that, it does kind of like, I don't know what's happened with my eyes with age, but they've just become so much more sensitive. And that to me is like, I don't care to play this game on a 50-inch 4K TV.
Well, the amount of light that these, it's different light too. True. It's more blue light than the CRTs do, where it's all bulb lit.
But it definitely was a big difference between them. I played them this game. And also there was weird differences in the game's mechanics. Like the one I was playing as a ROM, when you died, it started you. You go back to the first screen and there's a continue at the bottom and you had to hit select twice to get down to it.
Mm-hmm.
On the actual cartridge, on the actual system, it automatically puts you on that on continue. I thought that was really bizarre.
Oh, interesting.
Weird, very not important difference between them, but
there's obviously there is some sort of coding.
Yeah, something's weird there.
Flip flop there.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I also noticed that, and the game seemed to be easier on the actual system. But I think, like I said, I think that's the fact that the controller felt right, the controls felt right, and that there was no delay.
I do know there are two different versions of that cartridge too.
Really?
Yeah. There's because in certain levels, for example, I think it's level 5.
Yeah.
The boss rush level.
Yeah.
Hate
that level.
You know where you fight two unicorns?
Yeah.
There's a version where there's only one.
Well, no, the one I played, I only fought one.
So
on my cart.
You have the newer version then.
Yeah. Also, apparently some people, I looked up reviews after playing it, see what other people thought, and if like we had the same viewpoint. And one of them was like a walkthrough, and the things that were happening in his game did not happen in mine.
Yeah.
On the cartridge version I had. Because he had to fight two of the bosses that were the flying. Now, hold on, though. I'm wondering.
The Satans?
No. The dragons.
Oh, the dragons.
There were two. He had to fight two on one level, at the end of one level.
Yeah.
I'm wondering, wait a second. Was it the second loop?
No. It is. Because I was looking up trying to like find like a strategy guide or something. And it's just like, it depends on what version of the game you have. Because after like a certain time that when they were releasing the cartridges.
Right.
I guess they had a change of heart and they changed the difficulty on it.
Yeah, they did that with a lot of NES games. Rygar did that too, and you can tell which ones are which either by small printing on the like where it says like made in Japan or made in Mexico. And most of them have like either 3 or 5 screws on the back.
Okay.
And 5 screw games are almost always worth more than their 3 screw counterparts.
See, that's a weird collector's thing that I would not know.
Yeah, I'm a super nerd.
But I thought that was interesting. And also the secrets are different depending on which version you're playing.
Like interesting.
If you're playing the arcade version, where suits of armor and stuff are hidden are completely different than the NES game.
They also had a bunch of different ports. They had like a Commodore 64 port. This is absolute garbage.
I did see that. And it looks bad. The colors are bad, all bad,
but it's also impressive.
But the colors are all weird.
Yeah. And it like the sound is awful. And like things don't even have like a dying animation. They just disappear. But yeah, it was ported to a lot of things. Anyways, we didn't even get the graphics and audio. So let's get to that.
We've been kind of.
Yeah. I'll just play the music.
This has kind of been just a rant episode.
But yeah, I'll just play it now so that we can just say it's graphics and audio. Oh, yeah, there you go. Graphics and audio. So we've kind of already been touching on this. The game's gothic. It doesn't really have much of a background when you play. Sometimes there are some background sprites, but I noticed whenever those were interjected and they weren't, you know, stage 2 or the last stage, kind of made it hard to see your character. So I see why they went with the black.
Well, I liked stage 3 as far as the atmosphere.
Like the bridge?
No, it's the it's the blue, the cave. It starts with a kind of red aesthetic. And then it changes to that blue, cave kind of look.
Is that the one where you go up the stairs and there's like a red demon?
It's all red armors everywhere. Yeah.
That stage also took me super. I may have spent the most time on that stage.
That's
but once I figured it out, it was done figured.
That is the stage where I was definitively being like these things. There's something wrong. I can't figure them out.
Right. Well, so. We were asking our community this week who they thought was going to get further on Ghosts and Goblins this week. And pretty much everybody voted for you.
That's funny because I yielded.
You yielded. I know. I actually beat the game.
Yeah.
And you yielded at the third stage. So take that, you naysayers. If I say I'm going to go hard on a game, I'm going to do it. Plus, like I said, the Battletoads background and the Battle Kid background, like, I beat Battle Kid and then I beat Battle Toads.
Yeah.
And now just like these hard, quick timing, trial and error platformers from 8 and 16 bit. I'm just better at it. I feel like I've developed a skill.
I feel like this is more your field.
I do like the chaos too. Like something about it. I'm also a very animated person when I play these games and very loud. So the Italian side of me comes out for sure.
I would like to give it a go on the actual cartridge.
Yeah. And I'm telling you, it is so, it's easier. It just feels easier because I couldn't, my jumping mechanics were messed up when I was using the emulator with the Xbox controller.
Mm.
I you could see it in the first play. I would literally kept just falling right into pits and trying to jump, but it wasn't.
I had the same problem.
Nintendo controller, it doesn't exist. Very tight, works perfectly.
It's, yeah, because there were times where I just run, and then not jump at all and just run straight off a cliff.
I could not get past the second level with the emulated version, and I was able to beat the game on the NES version. So yeah, with the NES.
That there may be something there too.
There is. I'm sick of people saying that there isn't. Get the original stuff.
But back to graphics and audio.
Yes.
Play it on a CRT.
CRT for sure.
It needs it.
It's rough on a computer screen.
Yeah.
It's and just too bright.
Personally, I will never listen to the soundtrack to this game.
Why you don't like?
I can do some 8-bit.
Well, you should play the Super Nintendo version.
I bet it's good.
I'm going to talk about that in Verdict.
But I have very sensitive ears to that registry.
Yeah.
It's tinny. Yeah. There's certain bands it's I won't pitchy listen and to. Tinny.
Yeah.
And like, I'll be very, very critical of any sort of performance.
Yeah. Like Beethoven, ICP.
Yeah. Well, I was thinking of like, I've even gone to like plays where their pitch is tinny.
Yeah.
There's the audio they're using.
I'm imagining you in like a 3-piece tuxedo.
With
gloves.
I legitimately went to a Shakespearean play in a 3-piece suit and absolutely hated it because they were mic'd and it was tinny the entire time. And I was just I wish you would have just projected.
Yeah,
because I hated it. It was also in it was a theater in the round.
Oh, wow.
Which didn't need.
Yeah.
Any sort of audio production. And
so they overdid it.
They overdid it and it ruined the entire experience.
And you were like, shallow and pedantic. I concur.
Yes.
Hey, I've been to some musicals. I'm not harping on any of that. I'm a theater kid, so yeah.
Same.
Yeah, so it's always in you, you know. I'm not gonna sit here and call somebody a dork when I just went over the 5 versus 3 screw. History.
Hey, man. Theater is where the girls are at. You can play football all you want, but you're only going to see a bunch of naked dude butts.
Yeah. They were and you were
the girls. There's a lot of costume changes. The girls, man, were
accessible. No, that sounds terrible. The girls, I meant like you were able to talk. You had to interact a lot more in theater than say any other class where you're not even paying like.
Right.
I remember in our theater class back where I went to high school, actually they threw all the parties. And
and we party hard.
And the guy who was like the you know, like the best actor and like coolest guy in theater, he was selling everybody pot. So yeah. Don't look at those theater kids and be like bunch of nerds. They're partying the hardest.
They throw down. Also, a lot of them probably are on the sports teams as well.
Yeah. I mean, I was on the basketball team.
I played football and was on the swimming and track.
They use the resources.
Yeah. A lot of us were from families where they're like, you're going to be well-rounded. God damn it.
Yes. You're going to know Shakespeare and how to chuck a spear
and how to bludgeon a man to death.
I don't think that's a sport. Yeah. It's javelin. That's javelin, what I was
talking about. There you go.
And there we go. Right back. Ghosts
and goblins throwing lances.
Yeah. Lances.
Also not how you use a lance.
No. I also thought, this is a weird random thought that came in my head while playing this game. I was like, this game, Ghosts and Goblins, and the game Gauntlet, I feel like had their names reversed.
Oh, yeah.
Have you ever played Gauntlet?
I love Gauntlet.
It's all ghosts and goblins attacking you the whole time. And in this game, I feel like it's a gauntlet.
I don't think there's one goblin in it.
There's not. Not a single goblin.
There's ghosts, unicorns. There's sausage ghosts.
Hell, the hot dog ghosts.
And then the ghost knights.
Yeah. That appear once.
Yeah.
But that's okay. I mean,
Like they, they do. They only show up in one level.
Well, that's because it's an arcade game. And that really happens a lot in arcade games. And I have to give them praise.
That's such a waste of a resource, though.
Yeah, well, they do appear in the second loop.
We'll just reskin them.
Yeah. It's a very faithful port. Like, it's impressive what they were able to do pre-Mario Brothers. And I say pre by, like, a handful of days.
Yeah.
But that's something to consider. This game came out before Mario. So that kind of gave it points for me in a certain area. Because I thought, okay, well, what the hell am I comparing it to? Because nothing else came before. This came before Castlevania. This came before Mario. This came before Zelda. Like, wow. And I think they were like, holy crap. All the other people who are making games are like, yeah, let's make our game just a little easier. Yeah. Just a tad. Mario's like, nah, dog, we're going to have a World 8.
We're going to make it accessible.
Mario's going to be in a wheelchair. I'm like, that's no. It's already hard enough. All right. Verdict. I don't know. We'll flip a coin goes first.
I'll take it. This, I'm just going to say this is not for me.
Okay.
I think it is a good game. It is just not a game for me.
Right.
And that might be because of the way I was playing it. The emulation is not the way to go.
But do you feel that you played it enough to know that it's just not your game?
I think so.
Okay.
I also feel like if I got to the final boss and they were just like, la, 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 you got to do it all over again, I would say, yeah, F this game and flip the table.
And for those, I don't think we talked about that. We just kind of hinted at it. This game makes you redo the whole game again to get the actual ending. So when you beat the first, when you get to the last boss, you beat them and they say, that was an illusion. Mm-hmm. You have to play through all the levels again to get the true ending, which I'm like, come on, man.
Yeah.
Come on. And you can screw that part up too, because if you don't kill the last enemy with the shield, it sends you back to the beginning of level 5.
Yeah.
That's messed up, man. Yeah. So it's a ruthless game in that aspect. But anyways, continue.
But I'm gonna steal one of our listeners' reviews opinions on it. Shout out to I don't know if he wants his real name shouted out, but Gora Masala is on our Discord.
Oh yeah,
he is my champion for this game.
Oh really?
Yeah. He ran through the whole thing in two sittings. I was just like, here. Play it.
And it's his kind of game.
He gave me, it is his kind of game. He gave me a buttload of notes, but this is grandma's candy dish. It's the weird kind of chalky for me.
Like, it doesn't gross you out, but
I'd rather go eat something else.
Yeah.
But it's there. I'll mess around with it.
Right. It's not grandma's ashtray.
Right.
No. So, okay. So So where would you put this on like our weird rating scale that we change every week?
Like I said, it's not trash.
Is that thumbs down for you?
It's a middling. Yeah, it's, I mean, like I said, it's that weird candy at grandma's house. Like,
okay.
You know,
you're giving it a weird grandma candy out of
it. It's not a half eaten cheeseburger on top of the garbage. it's can't more,
keep up.
it's not a moldy longer burger basket.
Oh, that's the waste.
It's aight. It's just, it's not for me.
Interesting. So this is an interesting perspective, because I pegged you completely wrong on this. I thought you were going to not only beat it, but beat it twice. I thought you were going to love this game, and I could not have been more off the mark.
Yeah.
For me, I actually do like this game. This is definitely my kind of game. I do like the idea of beating it twice, but the reason is that it's an iconic game. So for instance, if I was playing this when it was released prior to all the games that follow it, I probably would have hated it, which I did when I was a kid. And then, but now I'm not reviewing, I'm not on a podcast at, you know, 7 years old or reviewing. Nobody gave a crap about my opinions on video games back then. Maybe they don't now, but, now the way I look at it, it's not a hidden gem. It's just definitely, because I think a hidden gem is something I'm like, everybody needs to play, right?
It's also, it's so in the zeitgeist. Everyone knows about Ghosts and Goblins.
It does. And it's very, it's iconic, you know? And the sequel is so insanely better that came out on Super Nintendo.
Is that Ghouls and Ghosts?
It's Super Ghouls and Ghosts.
Okay.
That game is every caliber, every chamber of this game, 200% better. Graphics, music. It was that made my list of top 10 best SNES soundtracks on the Patreon only episode. It was on there because it's so good.
Okay.
And it is also harder. And they do pull the same tricks.
Well, I might.
But it's different. Like they fix it. They fix a lot of their tricks. But we're not reviewing Super Ghouls and Ghosts. I don't know. I do recommend it. If you've never played it.
I kind of want to play it now.
You should play that one.
Yeah.
And I think, of course, everything on the Super Nintendo massively enhanced everything on the Nintendo. There's nothing that really like went backwards. I can't think off the top of my head.
Also, I think maybe it might just be it's hard but dated. And so I'm not like invested in wanting to see it because what am I going to get out of it?
Other than bragging rights, which I was bringing up like on my verdict, like the only reason I really want to go back and play it, and I do, just because I'm getting a little bit of that Battletoads feeling where I'm like, now I'm starting to like this. And now I want to see how far I can get, how fast. But it's not. Battletoads is far better game.
And I like Battletoads.
Yeah.
I don't dislike this game.
Right. But
I don't have a drive to play it.
It's
whereas Battletoads, I will throw on any day of the week.
I agree. This game is, I guess it's the gatekeeper for good platformers for at least 8-bit, right? Like this is the standard. You go below this, your game's bad.
Yeah.
But I give it a thumbs up. I don't give it a hidden gem just because it's my kind of game. I like the punishment. Battle Kid did that to me, man. If you beat Battle Kid, you are automatically in love with all these kind of games.
Yeah. Well, I'll have to give that one a shot then.
And there's, you know, and all the games that came after this. I mean, this is kind of the grandfather of these like specifically hard games. You could even say this is the grandfather of Dark Souls.
That's actually how I described it to some.
Or Super Meat Boy.
My young coworker. See, and I love Super Meat Boy.
Yeah, but I mean, we're talking, what, 20 years of technology?
It's also, it's different.
It's different.
Super Meat Boy is...
feels more puzzly.
You can get more creative with it too.
Yeah.
There's different, like this, I feel there is one way to play this game.
Right.
There's the right way and the wrong way.
Or the highway.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think I was doing it the wrong way. Like I hadn't cracked the code yet.
Well, you were also playing it on an inferior way that you were unaware of was the inferior way.
A damn web browser.
Yeah. That's definitely the worst way to play anything. What are you doing? It's playing Skyrim on the web browser.
Yeah.
On my Nokia.
So. You know,
yeah. Okay. Well, that's that. There's our final thoughts. You know, what I want to get together is like some kind of list that shows like our like the games we played, and then like next to it, like
we should have that.
We should have that. Yeah. We should start building that. It shows like what our feelings were in the past episode. So if people want to see, like, because I bet you after enough games, you can kind of see how we align with our gameplay styles.
Mm-hmm.
Because I guarantee you would not. I don't think if you really, maybe you would. If you push yourself to beat Battletoads, it might be your favorite NES game. Because I despised that game.
I haven't beaten it. I've gotten very far on it.
Beating it is the biggest just bukkake of dopamine.
But that was one of those games that I, at the time, I couldn't afford to buy a copy of
it.
So
expensive.
I would rent it a million times.
I have a pristine copy, too. I'm so proud of it. So
but I was playing Super Battletoads, not...
I've never played that.
It's great.
I bet it's on the Super Nintendo version.
Yeah.
If everything is better.
It's basically the same game, only with better graphics.
Well, there you go. Thank you for submitting that game that came from Seek Ye Wisdom, was the Patreon that submitted that game, Ghosts and Goblins. And since it's going to be Patreon Appreciation Month, February, every week this month, we're going to pull from the Patreon. And by the way, if you've submitted a game and it didn't get picked, it stays in the pool.
Yeah.
You get to add another game every month if you want to remain a patron, you know, but your game that was in the pool for that month never gets erased. So the only ones we take out of it are the ones we have to play. So I'm going to spin this. You ready? We have
spin that wheel.
Okay. So this game is from Electronic Arts.
All right, EA, let's go.
It was developed by Rogue Entertainment.
Okay.
It is a third-person action-adventure game from the year 2000.
Okay.
The game's premise is based on Lewis Carroll's novels Alice Adventures in Wonderland.
Are we playing the Dark Alice?
And the game is called American McGee's Alice.
Yes.
So.
Yes.
So there you go. That's another PC game. I think, hold on, it's released on a lot of things.
It got re-released on the Xbox.
360.
360, yeah.
And okay.
PlayStation.
I want to see if I can find that version, because I prefer, well, I guess we can't.
It's much better on the PC.
Yeah.
Trust me.
Okay. Well, also the Xbox 360 version was released in 2011. That breaks the rules. Yep. So,
but, all right.
American McGee's Alice is next.
You ready to see...
I don't know what the hell it is, other than just what I just read.
Oh,
you.
Oh, this is Goth Girl Fantasyland.
Oh man,
you got.
I'm in.
You got tatted up, pierced Cheshire cat.
You son of a bitch! I'm in.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a good one. This is
cool. You've played this one, huh?
This might unlock some things for you.
Oh, cool. That's what I need, more unlocked things. Yeah. Just added this dumpster fire of a human. All right, everybody, that is this episode this week. Thank you for joining us. Shout out to the patrons. Kenshiro, trying to go off the top of my head. Seeky Wisdom, Cappy 74, Julia. I think the other Brian Ross, KCB. He does exist, I swear to God. And his team's going to Super Bowl, so it's Kansas City. Not to interject sports. Or make this not evergreen.
Sports ball.
Yeah.
Until we play Tecmo Bowl.
Oh, dude. I wish. Thank you. Don't forget to submit another game to the Patreon pool every week. This week in February, we are pulling from it. So if you haven't already submitted your next game, or if you're new to the show and want to submit a game, just go to our Patreon, patreon.com/supergarbageday, or look in the show notes and go ahead. Nobody's still putting Chrono Trigger in there or Final Fantasy VII. Blowing my mind.
And I'm just going to give you $5 and put Chrono Trigger in there.
Like these games that are like, you've never played Final Fantasy VII, right?
No, I haven't.
I haven't either. I mean,
we might have to just do it just because.
No.
No. No. What?
Maybe.
Well, what we need to do is we need to do another for a Patreon episode.
Oh yeah,
the versus and do
that'd be good.
Earthbound versus Chrono Trigger, and you play Chrono and I play Earthbound.
I'd want to play Earthbound.
I know, okay. I know you okay. would, but you've played it before.
It's fair. It's fair. And plus, I've never played Chrono Trigger, so
it would be fair on all it's a accounts. Tall order.
Well, maybe if everybody likes that idea, let us know in Discord. We do have a Discord link in the description below for Super Garbage Day. I am B Ross, the Science Boss. This is
Mr. Miller,
the Burger Killer.
I do like a good burger.
I do too. I wish that was my nickname. We will see you next week or see you on the Patreon for the bonus episode. Cut to B.
Nom, nom, nom.
No, no, no.